Let's go into prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord God, we thank you for another Sunday morning. God, we thank you for so much, Lord God. We have found that we are blessed and we are highly favored of the Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you that this old planet is still rotating just right on its axis. Oh, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you placed us in a place where we don't burn up or we don't freeze to death, Lord God. Everything you do is perfect. Everything you do is right, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you this morning that we are here and that you have blessed us and you have kept us. And Lord, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to be with us this morning, Lord God. If your Spirit don't come, we might as well just go home, Lord. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and move in our lives, Lord God. Move, Lord God, as we take in your word, Lord, in the classroom and in the sanctuary. Lord, wherever we're receiving the word in the praise and worship, Lord, I pray we take it in and we digest it. And Lord, and we make it in our mind and our purpose to live it. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue on. Guys, we're still on session one, day two of session one. And we're in the section still talking about, yeah, we need our school bills. It's in there. I should go get it. It's in our cabinet. And we're on day two. We're still talking about prayer for day two on under honest evaluation, guys. So again, as we said in the previous lessons, starting out with this war room lesson, that if we do not pray, you know, then we can't get any further. But the first thing we have to look at when we're praying is our honest evaluation of ourselves. Is God hearing you? If you're not seeing the answers to your prayers, don't you want to know why? Don't you want to examine yourself? Don't you want to see why your prayers are not effective and how to make them effective? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the enemy pushing me around and I'm ready to push him back. So that's what this honest evaluation is all about. You know, all bets are off, folks. We need to get honest before God. Talk about ourselves. You know, I'm not talking about you evaluating me. I'm talking about me evaluating me. I'm not talking about me evaluating you. I'm going to evaluate myself, and I'm hoping you guys are looking at the same thing as we go through these lessons, that we are evaluating ourselves. Last week we just talked about again, who is Jesus to you? Is he just a casual acquaintance, or are you seeking true relationship? Can you honestly evaluate where your prayer life is or where you are? Are you hot? Are you cold? You know, we talked about that key scripture in Revelation 3 where it talks about the church of Laodicea. Are you lukewarm or are you hot? Are you cold? So again, honest evaluation so we can get ourselves ready to do warfare. Today, boy, this is going to be a powerful lesson today because we are going to talk about the armor of God. We're going to spend the whole lesson just talking about the armor of God. You may have heard other lessons on the armor of God, and so just add this to another lesson on the armor of God. And we want to talk about the armor of God because we want to learn how to pray on purpose. We want to know how to pray deliberately and not how to pray just casually. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. These casual prayers. You know, we want to get our prayers to be on purpose. We don't want them to be rote and just something that we quote. We want prayers that are fervent and effective. So we got to talk about the armor of God and how that helps our prayers. So in your lesson, there's a section that talks about the armor of God. What page is that on, somebody? Help me. Page 9 on your lesson, it says the armor of God. And the lesson says we cannot learn about warfare and battling for God without studying, understanding, and appreciating the armor he has given us for battle. How much of the armor do we need to put on daily? Is it all necessary? And these are the questions that go on in our head. Do we have to put this on daily? Do we have to actually think about the armor of God every day? Is it all necessary? You know, all that stuff they talk about. And the answer to these questions is that you need all of it and you need it every day. The day you walk out without the armor is the day you will face defeat. And I'm telling you, you will face defeat if you do not put on the armor of God. You know, we don't talk about the days we come home and we face defeat, or the days we just stay at home and you can face defeat. But we need to talk about, you know, why are we not overcoming? Why are our days the same day in and day out? Why do people get to us and we act out every single day? Well, let's look at the armor of God and let's see where we're not covered. We cannot be asleep in the light, but we must be armed and ready for battle at all times. And that, again, is a sad description of the church. But the church is like that. We're asleep in the light. We have Christ. We have the light, but we're asleep. We don't have our armor on. So we're not ready for battle. So the enemy just runs roughshod over us. Technically, the armor of God should never be removed from us because, you know, it should never be removed. We should always have the armor on 24/7. It should be on us. But because we are humans, we must renew the status of our armor daily. You know, we get tired. We get worn out. You know, there are handouts on the table if you guys like to grab a handout. And we're on page 9. So because we are humans, our armor, you know, does need to be renewed. We need to go back. That's why we have to pray every day, because we're human beings. You know, our mind gets clouded. We go to sleep and our brain resets. So in the morning, we got to go again. Like, Lord, okay, let's review. Because we're human beings, but technically that armor should always be on. And of course, the armor of God is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 8. And in your lesson, I've kind of broken it down, and we're going to go through every piece of armor. And it says, finally, and I love that, you know, when you see those words, as I said, when you see the words therefore, and you see the words like finally, you need to go to that chapter and find out what they said beforehand. Because Paul is teaching this whole lesson about how we should live for God and how we should do this for God. He talks about marriages. He talks about so many different things. He talks about family relationships right before this. You know, some of our biggest struggles are family relationships and what we have to deal with. And he says, he does all this teaching on family relationships. And then he says, finally, my brethren, and sister, and ladies, we're included. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That says a lot right there, because it's not your might, it's his might. And if you're not into his might, you will fail. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to say you might fail. You will fail. Why? Because your enemy, that adversary of yours, the devil, has a longer resume than you on any given day. He's been around much longer than you have. So the only person that has a longer resume than the devil is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you're not operating in his might, you won't make it. You will fail. And that's what we need to get in our head, because some of us, we're so arrogant. We think that we can do it. I can just be a good person and I'm going to be okay. Folks, that's a lie. We can't. We're born in sin. We can't. We can't. We will fail. So we need his might. So it says, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might and put on the whole armor of God. You can't put on pieces of it here and there. You must put on the whole armor of God. And we're going to talk about how they work together. That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. You got to know the devil is a strategist. I mean, you got to really know this. I mean, because sometimes we think he's just some, you know, some guy in a red suit and a pitchfork. Folks, this guy is a strategist. He's been around for a long time deceiving mankind. From the garden all the way till now, folks, he's been deceiving us and doing it successfully. So that's why you've got to know the strategies of the devil. That's why you put on all of this armor. And then verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You need to understand what a principality is. Principalities are the princes of Satan. You know, there are hierarchies. Even under Satan, there are hierarchies and there are princes. Remember the third of the angels that were swept away out of heaven that came with Lucifer? These are the princes. And these princes, they're called princes because, and they have regions in which they're set up over. They have regions which they're set up over. They have certain sins that they're set up over. You know, there is a principality over the sin of abortion. There's a principality over the sin of homosexuality. There's a principality over these things. you know, over corrupt governments. There's a principality over lies. There's a princes that all they do is strategize how they will get humanity. You know, that's why, you know, when you look at people doing stuff, don't look at them. It's not them. They're being deceived by a strategist. So these principalities, the enemy is very organized. So he has principalities. We stand against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. Rulers of the darkness of this age. So we got to understand what we're dealing with. See, you need to know the lay of the land. You know, because if you don't know the lay of the land, you don't know how to strategize. You don't know, you're going to be walking around on the battlefield like Pollyanna with your little parasol and skipping around, and there's a battle going on around you and you don't know, and then you wonder why you got hit by an arrow because you didn't have your armor on and you were not aware. Remember what the apostle said? We are not ignorant of his devices. All through the epistles, Paul is teaching. He teaches them, know those that labor among you. You know, put on the whole armor of God. Understand what you're involved in here. Because we're walking around like Pollyanna and not understanding our armor and what we should be doing and the type of battle that we're in, that people have been told so many lies they don't even know who they are. And the battle is not to be upset or angry with them or hating on them. No, that's not it. That's not it at all, folks, because you'll never win. You'll never win that way. You've got to know the strategies of the enemy and how to pull them down. The scriptures talks about us pulling down strongholds. Us pulling them down in the power of God. We got to pull these things down. So we wrestle, you know, or it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Okay. So even though it's manifested in people, in the flesh and blood people, you got to really see where the battle is. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The real battle is in a different realm and beyond your reach. And if you, until you learn to fight in this realm, you will continue to lose the battle. You will continue to lose the battle. I'm sure all of you heard about the shooting in Florida. Breaks my heart. They had the whole list of these babies that never even got to grow up, never even got to live. And then you hear the town meeting that went on. My daughter, I was talking with my daughter, and she was so upset. She said, I was just listening to all these teenagers and how heartbroken they were that they lost their friends. And these teachers that stood and took the bullets so that it wouldn't hit the children. And the people are just brokenhearted. And I'm like, you know, and our heart breaks for them. You know, but I'm telling you, folks, until we get on our face and we pray, until we pray, you know, they can make all the laws and legislations. I'm not against that. Do what you need to do. But that's not, you're fighting in this realm. See, you're battling. You're trying to do battle in this realm when the real battle is in another realm. And until we learn to fight in that realm, this will continue. And that's why we're doing this class, folks. I hope you guys are setting up your war rooms. I hope you're getting ready. And I hope you're already practicing praying. Are you praying for the folks in Florida? Are you praying for the schools? Are you praying for our teachers? Are you praying? You got to pray, because that's the only thing that's going to push back this spirit of death and murder that is trying to take over the schools. You know, I see it. I'm like, until we fight in the realm where we can, in which we're going to push this stuff back, it'll continue. So the question is, who's praying? Who's fighting in the spiritual realm? Or are we sitting there and just looking at the TV and just shaking our heads? What a shame. But who's on their face? Who's prayed for them? Who's praying for the schools in Pueblo that it doesn't happen here? It's already happened up in Denver. Who's praying that it doesn't happen here? Folks, I'm telling you, this is war. This is war. You've got to understand that that adversary of ours, he wants us off the planet. He wants us off the planet. So he'll do everything he can to wipe us off. And by killing the young ones, see, if you kill the little ones and the young ones before they can reproduce, before they can have children, oh, you knock out quite a few. So we've got to get our armor on. The only hope for this world is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he operates through his people. So we are the ones that have got to rise up and start praying. I hope you guys are praying. Start praying now. You don't have to wait till the end of this class. You start praying now. Start setting up a place in your home. Reason why, you know, it's not, you know, sometimes I pray walking around my house, but I do have a special place where I can just go and close the door and really start talking to God. And again, even as we're doing honest evaluation, God is not looking at you to be perfect. He's looking at you to have a pure heart toward him. See, the moment you just say, Lord, help me, your heart is pure toward him, and he's going to answer these prayers. So again, just want to set these things in order. So verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, be able to withstand in the evil day, which we're in now, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having, and let's go into the armor. And I've broken this down in your handout. One part says the armor, the piece, one column is for the armor and that protects you in battle, and the other part is for the purpose of that armor. So we start with girded your waist with truth is what the scripture said. You want to gird your waist with truth. So how does truth protect you? See, the belt of truth holds your armor together. So if you're a liar, your breastplate is not going to hold on. See, your breastplate is here and that belt is on there. You know, so if you're lying, your righteousness means nothing to anybody. You know, so the belt of truth or girding your waist with truth is essential to the rest of your armor. Remember, Jesus said he is the truth. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Life. So when you're girding yourself with truth, you're girding yourself with Christ. So you're going to be honest. The purpose, it says, God's truth stands and endures the test of time. Lies have no foundation and will lead you to fall in time, in battle. You can start out good, but if you're standing on a lie, it's not going to last. Okay, when you're standing on a lie, you're living a lie, I'm telling you, you're standing on tissue paper and it's raining. So sooner or later, over an abyss. Sooner or later, you're going to fall through because the lie has no foundation. Truth will take you to the end of the battle. With lies, you will fall on the battlefield. You will be caught. Liars will be exposed. And you need to understand the strategy of Satan when he's whispering in your ear to lie. The whole strategy of Satan is to tell you a lie, and then when you do it, he will see to it that you're exposed. Because that's his whole strategy. I want to expose you as a liar so nobody will listen to you. Nobody will hear what you have to say. So he wants to disarm anything that would come out of your mouth by exposing you as a liar. So you want to be careful that you have on that belt of truth. No matter, I know there's consequences to telling the truth, yes. You know, and we're born in sin. I mean, we start lying before we can even walk really well. You know, you ask a little kid, they take the cookie off the table, and he says, did you take the cookie? No. We lie before we can walk well. Because we're born in sin, folks. We're born in sin. So we have to understand how we have to hold to Christ as our truth. As I said, we were born here. We were raised here. We were raised here. That's why when Christ takes us out of that vat of filth, and we got all this stuff on us. Because even as Christians, that lie will slip out of your mouth so fast. You're like, oh, Jesus, I just lied. That was not true. I don't know if you all have had that. Okay, I'm the only one. I've had that experience. Okay. I've accepted him, but boy, whoo, there it went. But I'm learning. I'm quick to repent. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for saying that. First opportunity, I'm going to make that right. Because it was easier to lie than to face the consequences of telling the truth. So again, you want to always make sure that you've got your belt of truth on, says some version. Put on that belt of truth, because truth will stand and truth will endure, and it'll take you through the battlefield. Next piece of armor is your breastplate of righteousness. And I want you to note that the breastplate covers your heart. Breastplate of righteousness. I want you to get that you're right in your heart. It covers your heart. The purpose is to cause you to do it God's way, the right and holy way. This keeps God's protection in place for you and protects your heart from guilt and other contaminations and consequences of sin. I'll tell you, you got to have that on. You got to have that breastplate. You can see how the belt of truth works with the breastplate of righteousness. So they work in conjunction. You're truthful, you're doing it God's way, and it keeps that breastplate in place. A guilty man will be motivated by shame and fall in the battle due to his poor decisions. You all have seen this. When a person is guilty, they'll make all kind of, you know, they'll lie to cover up the lie. They will do all these things because they don't have that breastplate on. And they will make poor decisions and they will fall in battle. Especially because God cannot bless sin. And we got to get that. Even after you've accepted him, God is not going to keep blessing you when you're in sin. He's not going to bless your sin. He can't. He's holy. He can't help. That's who he is. He's not going to change for you. He's not going to change for me. I don't care what your station is. I don't care how long you've been in Christendom. I don't care how long you've been preaching, pastoring, bishoping, whatever. God is holy. And he will not change for any of us. The contaminations of sin will eventually rise up and consume you. And God cannot protect unrighteousness. But I'll tell you, as soon as you repent. Again, we keep going back to the prodigal son. I want you to remember that picture in your head. You know, on his way. I mean, the father saw him from a way off. I want you to see when you're messed up. You know you've messed up. And as soon as you turn your head toward God, he's right there. Swooping you up like that father. That's all he needs from you. The scripture says, Romans 8:28, and I want you to write down this scripture. It's not in your lesson. Romans 8:28 says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. And that is it right there. He will cause it to work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. I'm glad they added that and. Because sometimes I hear people say, I love God, but you're not necessarily called to his purpose. You're called to your purpose. And then he causes everything to work good. So if you messed up and you need to get it right with God, you're like, okay, I want my breastplate on, so I got to get it right with God. I got to get my heart right with him. As soon as you do it, he's with you. Even as you face consequences for what you did. Okay, I got to go to court now. I got to do this now. I got to, you know, people are mad at me now. But God said, now I can make it all work together for your good now. Because now you got on your breastplate. Now you're called according to my purpose. Now you're living in truth, and now I can make it all work together. I've seen him do it. The worst of circumstances. You know, just Lord, just. And he will cause it to work together for your good. I'm telling you, many of you guys have a testimony. And many of you guys, people need to hear your story. I don't care how terrible it is. You know, people have abortions, people that have done this, people that have done that, and they think, oh, Jesus forgives it, folks. Called according to his purpose. As soon as you come and say, Father, he's right there. And he turns the tide for your life. And it starts to work together for your good. So you want that breastplate on. And that breastplate, boy, once you get it on, don't ever take it off again. It covers your heart. That means as soon as you feel the least bit of conviction, you get it right. Lord, man, I just slipped and Lord, I didn't mean to tell that lie, but that was a lie. You know, half truth. You know, we like to make it pretty. It was, you know, it was a half truth. Well, I was just exaggerating a little bit. You know how we do. But your heart is going to give you away. But Jesus is in that heart, man. That heart gives you away. I try to get away with stuff, and he says, you know, okay, I'll just wait till you're done. Making excuses for you. Okay, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'll get it right tomorrow. I had a right to tell them off. I mean, after all. Oh, man. Because I had to work on this, guys. I said, I was a speech. I have some buddies in here. We talked about the temperaments. How many of my cholerics, my powerful temperaments in here? The bossy people. Let me hear you. Oh, man, he had to work on this. I would give him a good speech. And then I'd get alone, and Jesus would say, and I raised you better than that. But it was so good. I really got him good. I have to go back and apologize. You know, I'm sorry for what I said. That just wasn't right. And, you know, and it felt good at the time. See, that's the way it is. It feels good at the time. That's how the enemy gets us. Get them. Yeah, and tell them this, too. And another thing, and go back to 1994 when it did. Oh, he'll bring up the whole list. Oh, man. So, you know, so as we get on our breastplate of righteousness, we want to get it right before God. We want to get it right before men. See, God says you got to get it right before God and men. I'm not saying you have to air your dirty laundry. You know who you need to talk to. You don't have to talk to everybody. But you know who you need to go to. Get that breastplate on. Get your heart clear. I love that about Jesus, that he forgives. Forgiveness is such a beautiful word. I love it now. You know, that I can forgive and I can be forgiven and I can go on. So that breastplate of righteousness. Next piece we're talking about is having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, or shoes of peace. Wow. And you know, it's interesting how the Bible puts it, the gospel of peace. You know, gospel means good news, or the good news of peace. You know, we can be at peace in everything because Jesus has come. And Jesus now does our battles. So we don't have to be out there in all this strife and trying to win every argument because Jesus has it. Once you've accepted him, he's got you. And he's got your issues and he's got your battles. So the gospel of peace, the good news of peace, is that Jesus has got your life and he's got your peace, and you can finally let things go. Aren't you happy you have to let things? I was a speech giver, man. My mother used to always tell me, girl, you should be a lawyer. Went into medicine, but you know. But I had to learn to let things go. And it was so much better to let things go. I don't have to argue through everything. I don't have to win every argument because Jesus has got it. Even when they accuse me falsely, even when they don't get it, they don't understand. I'll tell you, no human being on this planet is going to understand you completely. Nobody. Your husband, your wife, nobody's going to understand you completely. So get over it. Only Jesus will. So you don't have to win. Just let it go. Give it to Jesus and let him work it out. I've seen him do it. Just go into prayer again in the war room. Get that peace on. Get the shoes of peace on. Interesting, it's the shoes of peace because shoes take you places. So you want to be careful that you're not walking into strife. You know, you're going in to start an argument or start a battle. So what's the purpose of the shoes? To cause you to stay focused on the real enemy of humanity. Unnecessary and irrelevant strife with your brothers and sisters can distract you and divert you and divert your weaponry from your real enemy. And you got to keep that in mind. These little arguments that you have all the time, these little battles, they're distractions. Remember, the enemy's a strategist. If I can keep them fighting, especially fighting amongst themselves, then I can keep them from doing the real work of the battle. Oh, especially if we're Christians, man. Oh, we can battle and we can quibble and we can, oh, I can't believe they did that and they know that. Oh, they did that in church. Just on and on and on. Instead of focusing on where the real battle is. Because he's a strategist, and if I can keep them diverted this way. You know, if you look at warfare, that's the way the enemy acts. Let's divert them over there and all their weaponry over there while we're taking over here. So you have to be careful when you're in a little tiff and a little battle. You've got to see, okay, what's happening here? He's keeping me distracted. Why? Because there's a battle going on that you can defeat if you were focused on it, but you're not. You're in here arguing with your sister when the enemy's over here stealing your children. So again, folks, you want to stay focused. Stay in peace. Stay in peace, because in peace, you stay focused. In peace, you can hear God. In peace, so those shoes of peace keeps you where you should be, so you can hear God and you're not distracted. Your weaponry is on the real enemy. The scripture says in Solomon 2:15, little foxes destroying the vine. You got to be careful, because that's how he operates. He's not going to come at you Christians with a bulldozer. He's going to come at you with a little fiber optic little something that's going to come creeping under your armor, because there's a little crack there because your shoes of peace are not quite on. So I'm going to go right in your shoe, and that's where I'm going to get you. So again, be careful. Keep your armor tight. When you're getting into it, you feel it. Before you get in an argument with someone, you feel it inside. When you start to get miffed at somebody, you feel it. You know, when somebody's just getting on your nerve, you feel it. And that's when you start praying. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Take me back into peace. Remember, this is the armor of God. Holy Spirit, take me back into peace. Lord, I choose right now. I'm going to forgive that statement. I'm going to forgive that comment. I'm going to forgive what just happened, Lord. I'm going to forgive it in the name of Jesus. So help me, Holy Spirit. Do it in my heart. Do it in my mind. And let that go. Because you got to be focused at wherever you are, in your home, at the workplace, wherever you are. You have to be focused. Because the enemy is all around. And if he's distracting you, get ready. There's something up. Okay? So be careful and keep your mind in peace. Inner strife is a common tactic of the enemy to distract you while he attacks. So you stay focused on your work in Christ. You're not ignorant of his devices. But if you see it happening, you know, I don't know if you've had those days where everybody just coming at you. Watch out. There's something going on in the spiritual realm with you. Something that you can affect. You need to be praying about something. So start prayer. Don't let it get your heart. Next piece of armor we're going to talk about is the shield of faith. And I love that the scripture says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all. So why does it say above all? Why does he say that? It says, because without faith, you will not do anything. You will exist in doubt and fear, and the enemy will take you out with his lies and attacks. Without faith, you can become paralyzed. You won't do anything. Well, I tried that last time and it didn't work, and so I'm not going to try this time. I don't know. Oh, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if that's going to hold. I don't know if I should do that. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You'll do nothing. Above all, take the shield of faith. Whatever God is calling you to do, make sure it's God calling you to do it. Now, that's the first thing. Make sure you're hearing from God, and then take the shield of faith. The purpose of with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. A huge part of the battle is believing you are victorious in Christ. You got to believe this. You got to believe this. You can't be going waffling and iffy because you won't make it to the finish line. You'll get halfway there like, oh, well, I don't know if I should do this. But you got to finish the battle. Discouraged people will usually give up in the heat of the battle. But those who are full of faith will continue the prayer fight until the battle is won. You must fight discouragement in prayer. I know you've been praying and praying, you don't see it. Keep praying. Learn how to pray. Keep pressing into prayer. Remember, we're talking about prayer right now. We're talking about the war room. We're talking about, how do I make my prayers effective? Lord, I've been praying and praying. Keep praying. Discouragement weakens faith. But in his presence, that and should be in it. But in his presence, there is fullness of joy. God will inhabit the praises of his people. And this is Psalms 22:3. You have to praise on the bad days. You got to praise. Even though you've been praying and praying and you don't see it, you need to praise God because he inhabits the praises of his people. And I'll tell you, God sits and he watches. And he watches for faith, strong faith. He's ready to move. He's ready to part the Red Sea for you, but he needs you to see the strong faith. Do you not think Moses saw that big old Red Sea when he was marching the children of Israel toward that sea? He saw that big old Red Sea, but yet God said, go in that direction. So they're just going in that direction. And then Pharaoh's army is behind them. See, that took faith for him to get there. And I'm sure people were bickering like, I can't believe what kind of leader are you? You led us into a trap. Da, 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 da. And that's going to happen, folks, when God's telling you to do stuff. You don't see the way. You need to give this up. You need to stop. You need to. It takes faith. It takes faith. See, people of great faith will see great things happen. Faith shields you as you move forward in Christ, regardless of what you see and regardless of what you feel. If God has said it, you move forward in it. Yes, it's going to be hard days, but that builds your faith and makes your faith stronger and stronger. Some of our faith is just so weak and so waffling, and we won't do it unless we see it. I want to see all my ducks in a row. I want to see the end. I want a business plan. I want the business plan 5 years, and I want to see how we're going to do this when God just said, do it. In fact, God will deliberately hide things from you to see where your faith will be. He's got the blessing. He's got the provision, but he'll deliberately hide it from you to see if you will just believe him. I know I'm a witness. You ever been there in a situation with God? I'm like, Lord Jesus, how did I get here? But he, you know, I've learned that he's right there watching you, seeing if you will believe him, see if you will hold on. The shield of faith. The scripture says, thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're the glory and the one that lifts my head. That shield of faith will lift your head, folks, and help you to go on and go forward. Next piece of armor, the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. This is a good one. Oh, boy. It says, the purpose of this to cause you to know who and whose you are. Now see, that's it. Probably a lot of us. We don't know who we are, and we don't know who we belong to. So we have like a bunch of folks that just. And you ever seen children that just like, we're the parents, we're the parents. Because they don't know, they don't know. They're just like, we're just running around, having a good time. We don't know who we are. And we don't know who we belong to. So we act like a bunch of fatherless children. So it says your identity is what is in your mind about yourself, and it is crucial to your success in battle. Your identity is crucial to your success, so your success in battle. If you don't know who you are and you don't know who you belong to, you will not be successful. As we talked about a few weeks ago, you might just change sides. Oh, that looks good over there, so let me go over to their side. Because you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're fighting for. You don't know who your father is. So your identity, that helmet of salvation, it goes over your head. It talks about what's in your mind, the helmet of salvation. So it talks about when you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, your salvation. Do you really understand what that was all about? That he bought you with his blood. Now you belong to him. Now you are a child of God. I know the devil's going to tell you all kinds of stuff, that you're this and you're that. And I remember back in the day when you were like this. And I remember when you did that. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I know who I am now. I know who I believe. I know who I belong to. Your salvation makes you a child of the Most High God. Your Father is victory. Do you understand? Your Father is victory and rules over all. He rules over everything. There is no reason for our world to be like it is when our Father's victory. Because we don't know who we are. We've accepted him, but we really, oh, that was nice. That was a nice experience. But have you really pressed in to see who you are? See, if you're not studying your word, you don't know. You don't know who you are. Because your word talks about your identity. Your Bible's going to tell you who you are. As I said, it's the Alpha, it's the Omega. It knows all of humanity. Don't think because 2018 and that book is outdated. That book was already established when it saw the end of mankind. Remember, I heard a preacher say that God saw all the line of humanity, all of humanity from beginning to end. And then he went back and he pushed the start button. He already knows. And then he inspired that book to take us all the way through. So don't think it's outdated in 2018. You better read it so you can find out who you are. And it's not changing, okay? There's no updates. There's no Bible 2.0, okay? There's just the one. And it's not changing for you, me, anybody. So again, that helmet of salvation tells us who we are. Your salvation makes you a child of God. Your salvation is your confidence in battle. And you have to be careful about who you say you are too. Because sometimes we're saying stuff about ourselves. You got to understand, the scripture says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Sometimes you speak a curse over your own self. I used to do that. And sometimes we think it's kind of the thing to do. You know, putting yourself down. Oh, boy. I can never do that. Oh, I just, you know, yeah, that's me. I'm always, you know, a day late and a dollar short. I remember I said something like that. My sister said, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. I'm like, whoa. I said, whoa, I take that back in the name of Jesus. I will not be a day late and a dollar short. I'm blessed and highly favored. Stop cursing yourselves. Watch what you say coming out of your mouth about you. You're children of the Most High God. Speak it. I'm not saying being arrogant and prideful. I'm saying just say who you are. If you're a child of God, say, I'm a child of God. Don't let anyone else tell you differently. You got to know who you are. Be careful what you say about yourself. Be careful what you say about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not speak lies over yourself or over them. Even after they've messed up. Boy, I can't wait till the next chapter. We're going to get into accountability. Even after they've messed up, don't speak stuff over them. Don't gossip about them. You're just spreading the curse. Even after they messed up, don't spread it. Start speaking the word of God over them. Start praying the word of God over them. Luke 6:45 says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The New Living Translation says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. Wow. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So when you start putting yourself down, you start putting people down, that's because of what's in you. So you got to get that stuff out of you. You got to replace it with what the Word of God says about you. This is a really wonderful book. I talked about it last week. Beth Moore, Praying God's Word. awesome book, you know, just teaching you how to pray the word of God over yourself, over others, so that when you're praying, you want to pray effectively, pray God's word. Because God's going to honor his word. So if you learn how to pray God's word, you'll be doing good. I'm going to pass this around. I'll just leave that there. You guys can pass it around. The class. That was Luke 6 and 45. So you want to be careful what you say. James is another scripture I want you to write down. James 3, 8 through 10. And it says, but no one can tame the human tongue. It is a restless evil, undisciplined, unstable, full of deadly poison. Wow. Poison because it kills. How many people have lost their life because they talk too much? It's also a poison because you're speaking curses over yourself and over others. Verse 9 says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Again, talking to believers. Out of the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. These things, my brothers, should not be this way. For we have a moral obligation to speak in a manner that reflects our fear of God and profound respect for his precepts. An obligation. Death and life. Right here. Sometimes we can wound our children so deeply. If you only understood how much your children hang on your words. Mom and dad, boy, you guys have power over those little ones. Even after they're adults, they still hang on your approval. Be careful that you're not speaking poison. No matter how upset you are, make sure you're speaking life. Speak life. Speak life. And sometimes it's not that you don't tell them the truth, because that's in there too. The truth of sin is in there. But you still want to always be speaking life, so you want to be careful. So the helmet of salvation is what we're talking about, and what we're saying, and what we're thinking about ourselves, and what we're thinking about others. That helmet of salvation needs to be on. That's part of your armor, that you're walking out ready to encourage people when you walk out the door in the morning. You're ready to encourage those. Some people you may just see for a few seconds. Just letting somebody go as you're driving. Let them go in front of you. Few seconds of encouragement. Yes, Terry, you got to let them go in front of you. Yes. I know you're in a hurry.
Why are you going? Why you got to do that?
I know. But again, you know, and that's a good point. Because, you know, sometimes you think that doesn't make any sense. You know, that doesn't matter, because I'm in my car. Nobody knows who I am. You know, but folks, you know, again, we're the salt of the earth. You know, you could be a ripple in a pond. You cut somebody off, and then they cut somebody else off by the end of the day, somebody's dead. Because somebody did something foolish when it could have been, no, you go ahead. I know I have the right of way, but you go ahead. You just never know. Again, helmet of salvation, knowing who you are, assessing how you're thinking. Are you thinking selfishly? It's all about me. It's all about me. I got to get to where I need to go to do what I need to do, and I don't care about my brothers and sisters on the road. I'm at Walmart. I don't care about the cashier. I don't care about, you know, I just want what I want. Somebody makes a mistake, and you just want to, well, I'm going to call your supervisor. Folks, really? You have not so learned Christ. That's not what we're about. You gotta think about this. And God, I just honestly believe God sets us up all the time to see how we think. And are we thinking more like him? Are we becoming more and more like our Lord? Or are we still the same? We're doing a building project at our center. And I had to go to Sears and get all these appliances and stuff. And so some of the guys from our site, they came and they were loading all these appliances. We bought like 2 microwaves and all this stuff. We got back to the building and they gave us an extra microwave. And one of the guys said, you know, I'm building a house. I could really use that Marco. And you know, I just, you know, and I said, you know, and I, cause, see, I know the strategies of the enemy. I said, you know, the enemy is, this is a test. Oh, watch me now. Watch me in Jesus' name, you know. And I said, no, we're going to take it back. So we loaded it in and we took it back, you know, and we took it back to Sears, you know, and gave it back to them. And they said, well, did they charge you for it? I said, no, they didn't charge us for it. We just got an extra microwave, so we'll bring it back, you know. And he said, well, thank you, you know, because what you don't know is that somebody's going to do inventory. And the people that work in that warehouse, somebody's going to be in trouble because there's a microwave missing.
Right.
And somebody may be accused of stealing a microwave. See, we got to think about that. But hopefully a seed is planted and people say, okay, the world is not so horrible. Somebody will do this and somebody will do that. It can make all the difference. Folks, you are the salt of the earth. You can change everything. You can change a day if you have your helmet of salvation on, ready to do it God's way. And not always looking out for myself. So again, we got to start thinking differently. And this is warfare. Do you understand? This is warfare. Returning the microwave was warfare. Because the enemy was right there. Oh, I could use that. Oh, we could do it. No. No. We do it God's way. Because there are souls behind all of this stuff. And the enemy is a strategist. And he's always trying to get you. One way or another. He's always trying to tempt you. So we got to be on top of this, guys. And we've got to be aware of his strategies. The next piece, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The purpose to cause you to cut the enemy down with the word of God. The foundation of your warfare prayers should be the word of God. You need to know how to wield your sword. If you don't know that word of God, you cannot wield a sword. You're walking around with it, but it's like, you know, you're walking around with a sword and you can't even hold it. You have no strength to hold it. You ever see somebody use a sword and they're unskilled? You know? I mean, have you ever picked up? Hers are heavy. And you know, some of those swords, I don't know how in the world they carry those things around. But when you see a person that is skilled, they can block and they can jab because they know how to wield their sword. See, your sword is the only offensive weapon that you have. Everything else is for defense. The shield, defense. But the sword pushes the enemy back. That's why you got to know this. That's why when it comes to praying God's word, you got to know this. So the sword, you got to learn how to wield your sword. Pray God's word. The word of God in your prayers, make it effective and fervent, availing, taking much ground in battle. This is James 5:16. You want to have a fervent prayer. As I said, you pray God's word. Learn how to pray it. Learn how to take that. Lord, thou, O Lord. You know, Lord, I've had a rough day. And Lord, they came at me from all sides. But thou, O Lord, art shield about me. You're the glory and you're the one that lifts my head, Lord God. And I pray that for Beth Ann. Beth Ann had a rough day, but Lord, I pray that you would be a shield about her and you'll be her glory and the one that lifts her head. And in doing so, you're praying God's word over Beth Ann. And Beth Ann, God will hear those prayers because it's his word and it's effective and it's fervent. Fervent is heated and it's powerful. With the sword, you can do the most effective damage to Satan's kingdom. That's how you use that sword. So get into your word of God. You know, if you have to use scriptures, my goodness, we have the word of God on our phone. I mean, you just have it right there. Boom, boom, boom. And all these things that'll give you the scriptures, you know, the Bible app, you know, it'll come up. You know, if you got an electronic watch now, it'll come up on your watch, you know, in the morning, you know. And give you a scripture. Use that word. Learn it. Get it in your heart and start praying it. So the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Next one is prayer. And we've been talking, but praying always with prayer and supplication in the spirit. And in the bottom, I put the definition of supplication in your lesson. Supplication is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly, to supplicate. You know, we don't have to beg for things from God, but there's something about being earnest about it. You know, instead of saying, bless me, Lord, help me with my day, as opposed to, Lord, be with me. Father God, help me, Lord, I need you today. Oh, Lord, I just want to walk with you today. Supplicating, spending that time earnestly and humbly asking for it. The purpose of the prayer, to cause you to practice having constant communion with God so that you are always ready for battle. Do not allow anything to break your communion with God. No sin is worth turning your face away from your Christ, even for a moment. No sin is worth it. All that soldier has to do is turn for a moment, and the enemy will get him. You have to be watchful. Romans 8:26, another good verse you need to write down. And it says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for. Boy, let's say that again. We don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Another important piece to prayer. You don't know what to pray. You think you know what to pray for people. You don't know what to pray for people. That's why Jesus said, just pray, God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's why I pray over people sometimes. You know, they may tell me to pray specific. Pray that I get that new car. Pray that I get the house. I said, no, I'm praying God's kingdom come and God's will be done in your life. Because I don't know if God wants you to have that. I don't know. You know, but we're going to pray God's will be done. And sometimes there's something, as I said, when you get into the supplication thing, when you really learn how to supplicate, just getting down on your face before God. I said, Lord, I'm just here, Lord. I just want to be in your presence, Lord. Oh, Lord, show me what you would have me to show, what you would have me to see. Show me what you would want. Lord, I just want to be before you. And sometimes there are times when, folks, there are no words. You know, it talks about groanings that cannot be uttered. Have you ever been in a place where your heart was so broken and so hurt that there were no words? I remember back home, my church back home, seeing the old church mothers, and sometimes they would just be sitting in the prayer meeting, and they would just be, no words. No words, and I didn't get it back then, but I get it now. Sometimes there are no words, and that's when you're supplicating before God. You're just, God is reading your spirit. When you're supplicating, it's spirit to spirit. There are no words. You don't need any words. The Holy Spirit is making groanings for you before the Lord on your situation, on what it needs to be done. Sometimes it hurts so bad, there are no words. There are just the groanings. That's effective, and that's fervent prayer. If you've never been there, I encourage you just to get before God in your closet and just... No words. Sometimes it's good to be quiet before God. Sometimes we just chatter and chatter and chatter and chatter and chatter. Jesus can't get a word in advance. Because we think we got the whole plan and you're going to direct him on what he needs to bless today. But sometimes you just need to be quiet and show me, Father, what's for today? That loved one, that person that you are praying for, sometimes have you groaned before God for them? I have nothing to say, Lord. You just heard about the latest thing that they did, and you're just, nothing more to say. You have talked and talked. You know, mamas, let me hear you. You said and you talked and you talked, and there's like no more talking, and all you can do is, God, I'm just, you already know. Just move, Lord. So you got to understand those deep prayers. Sometimes in deep warfare, there are no words, only spirit to spirit And this is intense prayer. And then finally, the last part, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And the purpose of this, to sustain an attitude of sobriety during the battle so that you can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church and see what he is showing the church so we can target our weaponry of prayer so that we can protect each other. There's a lot here. Being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We got to watch each other's back, folks. We got to watch each other's back. You know, I think we just come together and we think everybody's doing great and nobody has any issues, you know. And no. On any given day, we're all going through stuff. On any given day, the enemy's targeting us, and that means we got to watch out for each other. That means we need to be sober, sober in our minds. Sobriety. There's nothing wrong with laughing and joking and stuff, but make sure that you're watching and you're being careful. You know, I've seen mothers talking together. Sometimes they're talking together and children are playing, and you know, and they'll be, you know, standing there just talking and talking, but if they hear their child cry out, suddenly, that mom stops immediately. Because she hears her child. That's the way we need to be with each other. You know, we can, you know, be interacting, but as soon as we hear something, our ears should perk up. Okay, we need to start praying. I need to pray. Because something's going on. Get ready. Folks, we're talking warfare. We are in a battle. We're in war. We have to supplicate for our brothers and our sisters, and we have to be ready. A new battle. So that's the last piece. Any comments or questions? Well, where's my preachers in the room? My preachers like to get this lady.
A few years back, I started taking, well, I'll say lessons on intercessing. And during that time, we would meet at the church every morning. One day, I needed their help. I started bleeding profusely, and my doctor sent me to a urologist. And the urologist took me in and checked me out, and he said that my bladder was full of cancer. And I just looked at him and I told him, I'm not afraid. I have somebody up there looking after me. And he said real sarcastically, well, you're going to need that somebody. And the way going home, I thought, I'm not even going to tell my family. But he said, I couldn't do the biopsy because your doctor put you on an antibiotic and it'll take 5 weeks to run its course. I'll see you in 5 weeks. And I thought, I'm not going to tell nobody. But by the time I got home, the Holy Spirit said, you need to tell your family so they could start praying. So that evening, I let my family know. And every day we'd meet at church, and I told the intercessors, and they all prayed with me. On the fourth week, that Sunday, while I was doing the praise and worship, that I was up at the sanctuary, praising the Lord and giving him thanks because I knew good things were going to happen. And I got a vision of the Holy Spirit. He came out from the sanctuary and he anointed everybody there in church. And when he anointed me, I was on fire. I mean, I was jumping, I was singing, I was praising. And the following week, I went to have the biopsy done, and the doctor said, I'm going to start you right away on radiation. He said, I'm not even going to wait for the results, but we'll send them in. When they wheeled me into the operating room, my daughter and my husband were waiting out there. Then they brought me out and put me in the waiting room. And he waited till I was awake, and when he came out, he looked at me and he said, Consuelo, he says, you have nothing there. He says, it's clean and pink and pretty. And he praised the Lord. So talk about to fill the faith. We went in with faith, and I even went in with a smile. And I praised the Lord, and I thank him.
And you know what? You kept praising. You kept praising. And you brought the body in. See, we have to have each other's back. You know, sometimes I'm too weak to pray, but you need to be praying for me. What a beautiful testimony. Thank you for sharing that, Consuelo. Wow, God is good.
When you were talking about shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace and how the enemy distracts us by arguing and so forth, but it's not even necessarily to that degree. We just get distracted. When we want to pray, we think we do, all of a sudden you need to get that vacuum out that you haven't seen in a month, and it's got to be done right this second. It's easy distractions. It's like it said in that book, you don't have an hour to spend in your studies in the Bible, but you've got 5 hours to watch TV. We see shiny things and we stop.
Thank you. We see shiny things and we do. We do. I'm telling you guys, we got to put on our spiritual shades and stay focused on what God would have us to stay focused on.
You know, the important thing about the full armor of God is what do our policemen put on? The shield and the helmet. That protects the head and it protects the heart. And if we let those go, we are nothing. You know, we're instant death. You know, so that's why it's so important to keep those two items completely covered. And then just know that God is in control, and whatever comes in our life, he's got it for a reason, and he will work it through. So, and I have 3 more books. Anybody who needs them, I've got them. So.
Okay. Yes. Virginia has more of the Bible study books if you guys would like them.
Hi, Karen. I'd like to ask for y'all to have my back because I'm facing a surgery on March 7th. They found stromal tumors in my uterus, so they won't know if it's cancer until they take the uterus out. So if y'all would pray for me.
Let's pray right now. Let's pray for her right now. We just lift up our sister. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, we just hold to your word, oh God, that says, Thou, O Lord, art shield about me. You're my glory, and you're the one that lifts my head, Lord God. You heal our bodies, Lord God. So I pray for my sisters right now, Lord. Lord, even as we have ministered this word, Lord God, I know it's no accident that she's here. She's sitting here. She's hearing this word, Lord, and she's facing what she's facing. Lord, I pray that she knows she is not alone. Oh, God, your Holy Spirit is with her, and the body of Christ is with her, Lord God. Father, you said all authority is given unto you, and you said go. So, Lord, we go and we lay hands, and you still, part of that was healing the sick. Lord, so we lay hands on our sister right now. We pray that you would touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, Lord God, that you bring healing to her body in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we curse and any tumor in her body in the name of Jesus. We curse it and send it back to the pit of hell from whence it came. In the name of Jesus, we pray that she would be every way whole, Lord God. Oh, Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for it. And we pray, Lord, that she prays. And we pray that she continues to praise. Oh, Lord, let the praise of God be out of her mouth and out of her lips, Lord God. No matter what is said, no matter what happens, Lord God, let the praise continue because your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. Inhabit, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Encourage your heart, Lord. We rebuke fear. Oh, Lord, we pray that our heart would not be afraid, Lord God, that she would know that she is wrapped in your love. She is wrapped, Lord God, with you, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think this was all a setup, you know, hearing Consuela's testimony, hearing what we said today. It's all a setup. And you're sitting here, God knows, see, just for you. Just for you. Amen. Jesus, just for you. Victory. His name is Victory. Anybody else?
Just to give her a word of encouragement, I was going through the similar thing a little over a year ago, and I just stayed in the Word, and
I didn't know what I was facing, but I had to go to Denver for surgery. There was going to be two doctors in the surgery room. And, you know, we got up there, and I was very calm, and I knew the Lord was with me, and I had peace. I really had peace that no matter what the outcome was, that I knew that God was going to be with me. And I was laying there, and, you know, they're putting the IVs, and they're doing all the stuff they need to do, and you're just doing what you need to do. And I remember looking at my husband, and he was so paralyzed with fear. And I just closed my eyes, and I just kept praying, give him peace too. And as I was laying there, there was so much commotion because there's so many people in there, you know. And I just laid there, and I was just praying and praying and praying. And the only vision that came into my eyes was this great big hand. And it was all white. And I could see a white gown hanging. And I was laying in that hand. And I opened up my eyes and I looked at my husband and I said, no fear. There's no fear. He has me in the palm of his hand, literally. And I remember wheeling into the room and there was like 30 people in the room. There was table upon table upon table and three people standing behind with their hands ready and all the instruments on the table. And I thought, oh God, what am I getting into here? You know, but 8 hours later, God still had me. I woke up and I was, you know, some recovery, but just know that God is with you. No matter what, he has you in the palm of his hands. Yes. Oh, amen. Yes. The Lord will be with you. Amen.
Thank you. Oh, boy. See, that's what it's about, folks. See, this is a demonstration of the body. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. I'm telling you. He'll do it just for one. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else before we close in prayer? So, Lord, we just thank you. Father, we just thank you. Margaret, can we get you next? Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your love, Lord God. Lord, I just feel the presence of your love in this room, Lord God. Your love for us individually, your love for us corporately, Lord God. And we thank you. We're non-deserving of it, Lord God, but we thank you how you love us, Lord God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us, Lord God. Father, even as you are teaching how to do warfare, I pray that we would not, from this day on, we no longer do warfare in this realm. We do warfare in the spiritual realm, Lord God. Teach us and show us. Oh, Lord, I pray that we pray. I pray that we pray, Lord God. I pray that we supplicate. I pray that we get on our face before you. I pray that you show us how to wield our sword, Lord God. Bring the scriptures back to our remembrance, Lord God, as we pray. Oh God, we just thank you. And we praise you, Lord, and we expect you, Lord God. I pray even this week, Lord, I pray more testimonies are coming forth. This week, Lord God, as we pray, as we wield our sword, Lord God, as we put on the full and the whole armor of God. Oh Lord, I pray we would be careful, Lord God, to have it on every day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.